this weekend we had two big wrestling shows, one pay-per-view, one premium live event. What was your favorite match this entire weekend?
Oh, definitely CM Punk versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry and Tony Khan in the handicap match.
Yeah, what was the finish of that match?
It was CM Punk was terminated at the end of the match, I think.
Dude, it's so fucking crazy. I mean, we'll definitely talk about that more in depth. CM Punk, his entire AEW career was shorter than Roman Reigns' title reign, you know? Isn't that crazy?
Dude, the things that happen in the span of the Tribal Chief's title reign are so fucking crazy.
It's so fucking funny. But yeah, dude, this weekend was packed full of wrestling. I mean, I feel like that's every week, right? There's no way that every week is not packed full of it.
Especially this week, dude. It was fucking two pay-per-views after coming off the biggest pay-per-view gate of the of the lifetime of wrestling history. It's crazy.
Hey, you know, Tony Khan was not going to catch me spending 50 bones 2 weeks in a
twice.
Row. Not in this economy. Absolutely
whoa,
not.
Whoa. I threw a little half of that 50 bones last time.
Fair enough. But, dude, my favorite match of this entire weekend has got to be Miro versus Powerhouse Hobbs. That freaking...
Wow. Dude, I got this. This is awesome, Chan, and it woke me up from my slumber. Nah, I'm kidding.
Are you sure it wasn't Meat Forever or Dude. Eat That Meat or
oh
Kiss
my
That
God.
Meat?
Oh, my God.
The chants
meat.
Were insane. It was pretty fucking nuts. But we got a packed show today. We're going to talk about some Payback, some AEW All Out. But I just wanted to, I am a man of the people. My co-host here is the Van Leeuwen influencer. That's what they call him on these ITP streets. He's influencing up a storm, making people buy freezer bags full of delicious, tasty French ice cream. But this flavor in particular that I was, I don't want to say bullied into trying, but, you know, this person called out the Fibro Foodie for not being a food connoisseur. So I went back to the Van Leeuwen on Ditmars Avenue to Boulevard, maybe. Don't want to triangulate myself too much. You figure it out.
There's only one Ditmars, I'm sure.
I'm going to try this right here. Barbecue gold cornbread crumble.
Oh,
Uber
my God. Live
exclusive.
On the pod?
So,
fuck yeah, dude.
You know, while I'm opening up this bad boy, maybe you can vamp for the crowd and describe what you're kind
of
seeing.
I'm trying to watch, dear crowd, I'm trying to watch my cat to make sure she doesn't pee on the couch. She's going through it. You know, she has kidney problems. She has possibly a UTI. We're going to take her. The things I say while you're trying to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we'll put the GoFundMe in the bio for Squishware.
At first
glance, this just looks like a plain old ice cream. You can see the barbecue sauce.
It looks like the plainest ice cream ever, honestly.
There's barbecue sauce on the side. So I'm going to do a big scoop one time one time. Let's see.
You know, I was like, don't let some fucking cashier tell the Five Borough Foodie what ice cream to eat. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing to do. There's a reason why you're the Five Borough Foodie, the food influencer. They're a goddamn cashier, you know?
You know, okay. Wait. At first, it was really good because I really love their cornbread ice cream. I've had the other ones.
Yeah.
And then I went in for a second bite. And it was fucking disgusting because it was mostly barbecue sauce. So we're just going to leave this one
in the
freezer. You got
that acrid, sour aftertaste. I'm telling you, I've had some Van Leeuwen flavors that are fucking weird. And you got to eat like 5 or 6 spoonfuls to see what it's like. That's how it is with the Earl Grey flavor. Why is Earl Grey an ice cream flavor? You know, it's florally. It's lemony, not everybody's favorite cup of tea, their favorite cuppa, if you will, but you keep going at it and it's fucking delicious. You're like, wow, my mouth has acclimated to the delicious flavors and unique combination of flavors within this little tub of ice cream, and now it's delicious.
Not sponsored, by the way, but Van Leeuwen, please sponsor us. But
please.
On that note, you know, I'm definitely going to smash this later because my 50 milligrams is probably going to kick in soon. But let's start the show.
Stabby is right there. Elias with a guitar to the shoulder of George.
What do you got to say now, Corey?
The
about what? Elias just got himself disqualified.
I mean, you didn't say anything about Jason Jordan outside running all around using illegal tactics. You didn't say anything.
We are vamping and vamping and wondering what will happen next in the One Piece live action anime. I don't know if you guys have been watching, but I'll tell you one thing. Me, my co-host Alex, and MJF have been watching. MJF on the record is saying anime sucks donkey balls, but he'll tell you that he's ready to find the One Piece with Luffy in the live action. Alex, how are you feeling about the One Piece live action? I think it fucking rules. As someone who's been reading it every week since fucking 2013, honestly, December 2012, I think it fucking slaps.
Of course. I mean, if you're just tuning in and this is your first episode, my co-host here is the Marcus Mark in all of the East Blue, and he's got a One Piece tattoo and plenty of memorabilia to prove it. And I want to say, as an avid One Piece lover myself, I loved it. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different things, much like pro wrestling. You know, people will say it's garbage, it's terrible, it's, you know, live action anime is never a good idea, but I think
never a good idea.
You know, because the booker, you know, in this case, Oda-san, he's just, he put all the love and care that he's done to the manga and to the anime that it just translates so, so well on the live screen on Netflix. Shout out to Netflix. Shout out to Oda. What about you?
Dude, shout out to Netflix. They have butchered so many live action adaptations of anime. Famously. Death Note? Dog shit. You know, Bleach, I mean, what, that was the best one, and it fucking sucked, to be honest. Gantz, I've heard, was okay. There's a lot of them out there. Not even worth mentioning. I think there's a JoJo one, which is, like, painfully hard to watch for Diamond is Unbreakable. Regardless, this thing, the perfect mix of camp, of corniness, of adventure, ridiculousness, funny gore, blood out of nowhere, people just getting turned into fucking meat. Dude. It's like the best parts of WWE and AEW put together with the best booker of all time, Oda Sensei. Thank you. All the changes they made from the original story work perfectly. Also, I've really appreciated it so much. You got a with his who's Mexican.
Whoa,
it's
hold dude, on. Dude, I'm going to have
they're
to.
Making,
I'm going
to. Just what? In case, Luke you know, we need Mexican. To put a. Iñaki
I know, but
is Mexican. It's okay. Lucky Roo's black.
Saying,
I think that's perfect, by the way. I love black Lucky Roo. It's like my favorite thing.
It's fine. I was just going to, I don't know if you were, you alerted anybody for any spoiler alerts, you know, who hasn't.
Saying somebody's is not a spoiler.
Yes, but saying it's somebody's because that definitely was not apparent in the anime.
Oh my God, dude, please get rid of that spoiler. We can't be having
Eva,
that.
Eva, write that down. We're going to have to bleep that out. We're going to, we'll put it in post. It's all good. But dude, yeah.
I marked it. Think... Genuinely, I want to get rid of that spoiler if possible.
Don't worry. We'll
be talking about like shit happening in like the current chapters.
That's what I'm saying. It's all relative, you know? Who even listens to this podcast anyway? But much like MJF, one of the greatest pieces of Western cinema has ever been released. And granted, I just want to put the caveat here. I am only 2 episodes in out of the 8. But if it goes by this rate, you know, we might have the biggest gate of all time, some would say, on Netflix right over here.
Dude, I really hope that they keep making seasons because this is could be like their next little fantasy thing. Like, you know, Game of Thrones is gone. Fucking, what do they have right now on TV in general? Like they have I really like the Lord of the Rings show, which a lot of people don't like because it doesn't follow the Silmarillion, whatever. But I like it. It's fun. It has some good moments, but this is like, I don't know, man, it's fucking great. It's good shit. I say just give it a chance. It mixes everything perfectly and it's a lot of fun. Also, Buggy's actor better than he has any right to be. Fucking crazy.
Yeah, dude, he was working out there, you know. He was shining him up. He told a great story out there. I really love the commitment to his gimmick of being the flashiest, you know.
Dude had his 15 minutes and he was grabbing and grabbing the brass ring. He's like, I'm getting booked next year 1,000,000,000%. He's like, when people watch this, they are going to be booking me and booking me on all the, you know, he's trying to get got and I respect it.
Hey, absolutely. This guy's a working man. But now, I mean, if it's anything, any consolation, I would say that I've literally stopped watching Netflix. I have
literally once they asked to split up the accounts and start a new one, I just like, I'm good, I'm done. But One Piece brought me back. So take notes, Tony Khan. This is how you get the people to care, you know? But welcome back to the Legal Tactics Podcast. So
welcome to the most musty show on television. Welcome to L.A. Knight. Yeah. Dude, John Cena is the fucking tits. Having him back to host.
Just processing at this big jump over here. But hey, you know, let's fucking roll with it. Yeah, dude. I mean, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking John Cena's back for, you know, the next foreseeable future, 8 weeks, 2 months, something like that. And I love that he got to fucking bump shoulders with LA Knight. But before that, you know, you want to talk about SmackDown, where we got a debut of a new theme. We got a new theme for Jimmy Uso. What were your thoughts on that, dude? Did you like it?
I didn't love it, but I liked it. I love the idea of them each getting their own themes. Did I love Jimmy Uso's theme? Not.
Who's got the better theme? Which brother has the better? Hold on. Let me get the clean cut. Let me just get the clean cut for the. Which brother has the better theme? Thank you.
Jey Uso.
Easy. He got the remix. He got, I think, Cass.
It's the original beat. It's him singing. He's like, main event, Jey Uso. He sounds like meaner and like more badass and cool. Like Jimmy Uso sounds like evil and like sniveling, like he fell to like the dark side and something that makes your voice like higher pitched and like dude, it's really like they're really funny, like the way their voices sound, but like Jey Uso sounds elevated, you know. He sounds like he got like the tribal blood flowing through him, like he's wearing like his own fucking seeds around his neck. And Jimmy sounds like he fell from grace into the dark side, you know. So I like
oh,
it.
Oh yeah.
But Jey sounds like badass. He sounds like he got the people with him. You know, it's main event Jey Uso.
It is funny. Kaz mentioned it that, yeah, Jey won the custody battle for the beat for the theme song. And yeah, instead of Jimmy, he got Jimmy out of there. And it's just Jey saying, just me, Oos. So, I mean, I'm pretty interested in this direction that they're going with. So, I mean, LA Knight and The Miz had a phenomenal match. Nothing wrong with that. But the whole star of the show was John Cena in there. And I think that John Cena is going to be bumping fucking shoulders with Jimmy Uso on Friday nights. And anyway, my whole thing is I think that the best thing that they could have done is to separate the Usos on different shows. If you're going to draw this out until WrestleMania, that's the only way that you could do it, right?
Absolutely. And also just having John Cena there will help get Jimmy over currently. It'll help get probably Roman more over, if that's possible. It'll help get LA Knight and The Miz over big time. I'm really excited for John to be put back into this. I'm so excited to have John Cena back, man. He's the fucking best.
So other than, I mean, my pick was Jimmy Uso. Is there anybody else that you want to see John Cena kind of, you know, wrestle with, especially with the big India PLE coming up in a couple weeks?
I mean, nobody that I can think of in like the next 8 weeks, but John Cena versus a heel Cody Rhodes, after you just sent me the heel Cody Rhodes edit, that would be the best story. That's a WrestleMania match, you know? John Cena going for 17 to break Ric Flair's records versus heel Cody Rhodes. Oh, please. Please?
Yeah, I mean, this is also, you know, speaking of Cody, is the reason why Jey Uso is now on Monday Night Raw. And again, it just fits so perfectly.
Because of the Cody stroke? Because of Cody's stroke?
The Cody Rhodes rub, some would say. But yeah, this is like, again, planting these seeds for WrestleMania. You know, I think that this is like, again, a part of the Bloodline overall story, obviously, because Jey Uso is involved. But now Cody is the force that picks him out away from the family, which gives him maybe something else to finish out with Roman, you know?
Yeah. Also, I just love the idea that Cody is like the guy that they use. Like, Cody has this weird power where he can just make things happen on the shows. Why is that a thing? I love it, though. They're like, oh, we don't have anything for Cody to do, so he's actually just the man behind the curtain who makes shit happen. I love that.
Hey, man. Of course. I mean, Cody Rhodes is a storyteller. He's a smooth talker. He can probably get anything kayfabe-wise from the brass up there, you know?
Do you think he'd get Phil Brooks hired?
Dude, can we just talk about that? How CM Punk is fucking fired from AEW? So this is exactly what happened. We're right back where we started 1 year ago with All Out, with him being either fired or suspended and nobody knowing what's happening. And he just disappeared for the company for, you know, 6 to 8 months. And we're at the same spot again. I mean, am I crazy to think that this is all a work? That he, yes. That this is just...
He's gone. He's fired now. It's over. Bummer. Before it was a work, maybe, but it wasn't. And now he's fired. Tony Khan's a little bitch. Oh, my life is in danger. Whatever. It's over. But here's what I'll say. First note. One, everyone who's like cheering that he's fired and like happy that he's fired, you are softer than the wrestlers you cheer for. One, two, cuck behavior. Three, scab behavior. Big time. You know, scab behavior. If you don't know what that is, look it up, because you're probably too young to know what a fucking scab is. And you're a bitch for that.
Okay, next sorry. Thing. Let me just stop typing in what it is.
I am happy that he got fired for one reason. People don't remember because they can't remember more than 2 years behind. AEW had problems and fights before CM Punk joined the company, and all those problems and fights leaked out backstage because Tony Khan can't run a tight ship. But since CM Punk joined and he has a loud mouth and he agitates that, you know, oh, we bring in this guy to start shit and now he's starting shit and everyone's so fucking upset. Well, whatever. They fucking scapegoated his ass and now they kicked him out. And you know what? Good, because all the fucking problems are still gonna remain, and now you don't have fucking CM Punk to blame. And people are going to be like, oh, well, why do we still have problems? Fucking Punk's gone. Well, maybe because he wasn't the fucking cause, just the person that you had to blame because he had a loud fucking mouth. So good luck, Tony. Good luck, Elite, whom I love. And good luck, Jungle Boy, and all you bitch-ass children running around backstage over there, because now you don't have anybody to blame but yourselves. Good fucking luck. Your problems aren't gone. The person you blamed is...
So you think that the problems, like these backstage fights, are still going to be popping up here and there?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They existed before CM Punk was part of the company. He didn't make them all spawn.
Oh, yeah.
He just became the head of them. He just became the face of them because he is the voice of the voiceless. He's the face that runs the place. He's the most charismatic person in any goddamn room.
And that's why he's fired. But
he's fired because when somebody makes fun of them, he goes, fuck you. Don't fucking say shit to me. And other people go, I didn't like that. And they go and they fucking talk about it on Twitter. I get it. I'm a bit of a pussy too. But CM Punk isn't. That's why I like him. He represents, you know, not being a bitch ass.
Well, you know, I do think that with, you know, Survivor Series going around the corner, You never know.
I wonder if WWE even wants to do business with him, you know?
Yeah, Trips doesn't
like
him.
Also, Kevin Nash being like, oh, it sounds like he has problems. Sounds like he needs some therapy. Talking from a real high horse. This guy who Triple H was driving around while he did a bunch of bad, bad things, you know?
You know,
don't throw rocks in a glass house, Kevin.
I saw this... again, another report today that said that Punk might be the reason that Regal left last year, because he kept calling CM Punk kept calling William Regal Triple H's stooge backstage at AEW. So I guess he was like, yeah, I don't want to work here anymore either, you know? So anyway, speaking about stooges, let's talk about some All Out. Let's just go down the card, and then if you got anything to say, you know, we'll just breeze right through it. The first match, because this was kind of the thing, you know, CM Punk got fired. We have this, you know, 5-day extravaganza, AEW fucking bonanza in Chicago without a CM Punk. And so that's kind of my interest here of, like, what are they going to do with this pay-per-view coming off all this press, which is why I thought that this is all the work. How is he going to tell the story for, you know, a pay-per-view in less than a week, you know? And so you got to do it all online. But they opened up with Adam Cole and MJF for the Ring of Honor tag team titles against Dark Order. This match was not bad. I mean, I thought, like, from the beginning to the end, we had pretty awesome stuff. We got a heel Dark Order. I love seeing Johnny Hungy healing it up. We got MJF continuing to be the best babyface in wrestling history right now, getting the king of the crowd chants, this guy. And we get a fucking Samoa Joe thing at the end, you know?
Yeah, no, I loved MJF in this match. The fucking kangaroo kick his dummy over. I loved all the Samoa Joe stuff. But my only complaint, and honestly it is a bit of a major complaint, is that MJF and Adam Cole are literally feuding with a tag team in Matt Taven and that other guy. And they lose the fucking Battle Royal and have some the Dark Order, who nobody's talked about in weeks or months, win it. Why? They're feuding with a tag team on TV. Have them win it and fight them at the pay-per-view.
Well, that's what Dynamite is for, you know? That's what Rampage is for.
They can fight and then keep feuding there.
Tony Khan knew that All Out was going to be sold out to the freaking rafters because of CM Punk months in advance.
You had to put Dark Order...
It is what it is. And, you know, if they're just going to lose, they just needed a team to beat. It also helps Adam Cole and MJF, their friendship slightly kind of develop a little bit more on TV. So that may, because at this point, if they broke up now, I don't think I'd actually really care that much. So but you got
to
keep them
together. They
don't
need to break up now. They could just beat somebody that they're in a storyline with, or a more credible tag team than the Dark Order.
Yeah, but, you know, Tony got her $50 anyway, so he was just going to put the, you know, Dark Order on TV to give him a nice little rub for the live crowd. But my favorite part of this match, obviously, was the Samoa Joe going face-to-face with MJF. Did you see the side-by-side clips on social media of that was, like, the spot from NXT back when Joe was champion and MJF was just a security extra?
Oh, he pushed him into the wall. I didn't see the side-by-side, but I remember seeing him when he's, like, walking down the hallway. He pushes him. That's so funny. Dude, do you think that Joe's going to be his next world champion feud? Joe's just going against all the world champions in AEW?
I mean, why not? I've said it every single week that Samoa Joe is always fucking over. He's ridiculous. He's one of the most over people in that company. So why wouldn't he be feuding with one of the most over people in the company? So I think that's good business. And it just kind of keeps everybody who was doing something with CM Punk, like, immediately in something else, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the people who got off the worst after All Out are MJF, because he main evented the biggest gate in fucking history. And Samoa Joe had a world title match in front of everybody, opening the show, biggest gate in history, and neither of them are getting talked about. It's all about CM Punk and Jungle Boy. So, yeah, they both deserve something good. Give them an amazing feud, and they will have an amazing feud together. Also, it's a babyface MJF, so who better than Samoa Joe?
Facts. And Samoa Joe beats Shane Taylor in the first of many Hoss fights this night, you know, the big meaty men bumping meat. That match was pretty cool.
Pretty cool, nice, man.
You know,
it was like Black Samoa Joe versus Samoa and Shane Taylor.
Yeah, it was like that.
They had the same exact body type. It looks sick, dude.
Same gear too. They
same
had the shorts.
Gear, dude. Same look. I loved it. It was so awesome.
Very, very cool stuff. All right, next up we have the TNT champion, Luchasaurus, apparently, versus Darby Allin. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10 of David Goliath matches, where does this rank on that?
Darby Allin looked cool with blood on his face. I don't know where this ranks in that scale, but I think Darby Allin looked cool. The match was fine. I don't know. 4? 5?
Yeah, it's okay. The biggest head-scratcher of this was what you texted was, you know, Darby saved by the jobbers led by Sean Spears. Like, what?
What? What's going on? Christian's about to end his career, so not even the locker room wants to see this. What? Hit him. Who the fuck cares? Hit him. Keep Darby off TV for 2 weeks. Who cares? It's fine. It's wrestling. Sean Spears is your big pull? Chicago's going to go crazy for this one. We got Sean Spears. You didn't even bring out AR. Why not just bring out AR Fox or something?
Speaking about the crowd going crazy for this, this next match was like I said at the beginning, my match of the weekend. The Redeemer, Miro versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Powerhouse. Another Hoss fight, except we get a lot of fucking suplexes and throws and slap the meat chance and meat forever and holy meat. It's crazy, man. And then fucking Lana comes out. Sorry, CJ Perry, hot and flexible.
CJ Perry.
Yeah. The beat the meat chance and kiss that meat when she came out was so funny. Shout out to Chicago. God. So
shout out to Chicago. I can't believe there was no CM Punk chance. Good for them, you know? I appreciate that. To just have like respect for all the wrestlers in the ring.
But what's up with Miro not recognizing his wife? Like
Miro is having what's called a schizophrenic episode, and he probably thinks that his wife is dead or something and doesn't exist. Sort of like you know, he's like the god I pray to and my wife, they're both like these ethereal things to him that don't really exist. So he sees her and he's like, "You're not real! You're not real!" I don't know. It was fucking awesome, dude. That was my favorite part of the match, was him having a schizophrenic episode at the end. And she's like, "What's going, babe? Like, what's going on?"
Yeah, so good, though.
I'm like, don't you guys live together?
Man.
He's like, "Ah!"
Miro is so good. I can't wait to see. I'm glad that we can finally move on from CM Punk and get more of this, because this is what we need. Great wrestling right here. Speaking of not great wrestling, I mean, sorry, it's pretty good. Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho for the TBS title. Tony comes out and, you know, furthers that story. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, she was being real quirked up. You know, she was all like, she's like, "I'm just so random, you know?"
Yeah.
She like puts like a bag of chips on her head and she's like, "Ah, I'm so crazy, you know? You can't keep a spray bottle around me. I'm just like, I'm just gonna take it. I'm just gonna spray it up. Woo!" She's just crazy and random.
Such a good gimmick.
Tony, we can't do anything with you around. You're just crazy.
That's all we got to say about that. Shout out to Chris Statlander.
Hopefully you can get more consistent TV time so I can give a fuck.
Yeah. The no DQ strap match. We had the contract signing on Collision. We had Ricky Starks versus the Dragon, but it was actually the American Dragon all along.
Ricky Starks got to learn to read a contract, baby. Learn to read and you won't get your ass slapped around by a strap.
We got fucking CM Punk fired, so we get the phone call to Bryan Danielson 2 months after he broke his arm to put on this fucking match. I mean, we got the final countdown. That was sick. Big pop, cheap pop for Tony Khan. Easy money, easy bag. Yeah, I mean, other than like it was a great match, but again, there was no story before. It was just kind of like a throwaway. It was cool in a vacuum. Right? But like,
yeah, but I mean, let's cut them some slack. They were like, "Break glass in case of emergency. Brian, broken arm in the fucking ring. CM Punk is gone."
Yeah, the tickets were sold.
Ricky
already
needs a match.
They needed to do it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was cool though. Fucking dude, those slaps looked fucking brutal, dude. Some of those really popped me. Like when I think it was, I mean, either or when at some point in the match, Brian and Ricky Starks both ate fucking straps to the face, which was insane. Insanity.
It looks so good. It looks so good, dude. Never underestimate Brian Danielson, you know? For all the shit I'll say defending CM Punk, dude, I'm going to defend Tony on this one. Break glass in case of emergency. Shout out Brian Danielson. Shout out Ricky Starks. Great match. Super fun. Big Bill made no sense, though. Why? I don't know. Is that who he's managing? I don't care. Just keep him out. Just have a cool match. Whatever.
And this was a cool match. I retract my statement from earlier. We have there was the over the budget surplus battle royal that I did not watch in the pre-show.
I did not watch. I didn't watch 0 Hour for All Out. Fucking, they got me to watch 1 0 Hour, and that's by putting implication storylines in it with, you know, MJF, the world champion. Not by putting a $50K donation in it that I heard about later in the show. I was like, oh, okay. They're just trying to make Hangman Adam Page look like more of a babyface. Oh, yeah, we donated to his favorite charity. Okay. Yeah, he won 50 grand to donate to any charity of his choice, and he chose some, like, Chicago school thing. It's all worked. Who cares? I don't want more Hangman babyface shit. I want him to fucking do some shit on TV.
Yeah, that would be nice. I saw, like, he was, like, wrestling a jobber on Rampage, and I was like, man, what does this world come to, you know?
Jesus. Have him just turn heel. We haven't gotten heel Hangman, you know?
That's true.
Have him do something.
A brand new heel spot just opened up, you know? Yeah, for sure.
Like post-beef.
It would have been nice, and hey, never say never. Who knows what's going to go on?
You know what would be the funniest thing they could do now that Punk is fired? Have Hangman, babyface, work with heel Jack Perry, and Jack Perry plays the character of whoever they think Punk is, like a dick backstage. Have him come out with fucking Pepsi cans. Have him just
taking shots every week. Just like cheap shots.
Yes,
oh, no.
And have him just be like a little bitch. Dude, it would be so fucking funny.
It would be so funny, but they're already pushing this WCW 2.0 gimmick. That would be too much.
Whatever, lean.
They're just taking pop shots.
Man.
I don't know.
Who cares? Yeah.
I think it was proof of tonight at All Out. The fans just want to watch fucking wrestling. Nobody cares about the backstage stuff. They just want to see cool shit, which, speaking of, I don't want
storylines. I've seen enough wrestling.
That's true.
I got
true.
Like 10 hours a week to watch.
You're right, because the next match I did not watch. I skipped through. That was the Shibata Kingston Claudio Wheeler match. You
completely
loved it.
Skipped
Your face
it.
Seems okay.
Completely
good.
Skipped it. I was like, oh, I was like, this is on the card. I was like, oh, are they fighting for a title? Somebody had a title. I was like, they're not even fighting for it. I skipped it. Skipped the whole thing. I was like, what are you doing? Get out of here. I love Shibata. Not this much. Bye.
Facts. I saw the Claudio sucks egg shirt, and then I skipped the finish, and it was he just won with a simple uppercut, and I was like, all right, glad I skipped this. Next, speaking about storytelling and great wrestling, Takeshita versus Kenny Omega.
Magnifique!
I love that video package at the beginning. I love seeing, you know, early career Kenny and early on fucking Takeshita, dude. I just also, again, the ethereal hum of Don Callis makes all its way to Chicago. It's biggest the heel gimmick in the business to have that shit ring out when Takeshita wins every time.
The ethereal hum of his music is so good. I'm so happy that Takeshita won. Shout out to Kenny Omega for wearing like his green pants, like his OG green pants. Obviously, they're more done up. They had some yellow on them. They were like
popped hard,
like
for
brand
that.
New, very cool. But I love seeing like the OG DDT green pants for this guy that he's known forever. How old is Takeshita? Because they've known each other for over 10 years.
I know, and he was saying that Takeshita's first 28? Match was
okay, I guess that makes sense. Known him since he was like 17.
Did he say?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he said that El Generico was his first match, and I love that he's just using all of the fucking moves of the people that he loves. Like, that's like his gimmick, is just like adopting like Akiyama shots and Kenny
like
Omega
LA
V triggers.
So what's the fucking difference? People are like, oh, I'm a mark, and I love Takeshita. I love how he uses like the moves of like people he loves, and then they're like, this LA Knight guy is just stealing stuff from like wrestlers that he liked growing up. Like, okay, kill yourself first, and second, shut up and enjoy the fucking product that you like. Marks
on the mic always. No, that's such a good point. I'm never gonna forget that. Takeshita is just like
is,
LA Knight
is Asian
sure.
LA Knight
for sure, dude,
with everybody singing Konosuke Takeshita.
Kind of works. Kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit.
Takeshita.
It was so good.
Hi.
The way that Takeshita wrestles, dude, it's It's been a long time since I've seen somebody this new on the scene that I'm actually kind of excited about. Because you just see the way he just fucking... However he slaps his chest or his thigh, dude, at the moment of impact, it just looks so devastating. The best forearms, the best knees in the biz, some would say. And
the battle of V-triggers was gorgeous. I love that they're just pouring gasoline on the, you know, the flame that is Takeshita.
Yeah, man. And Kenny gets to put this guy over and push him. They're pushing this guy to the moon. It's crazy. I love it. Great stuff.
To the moon.
BC Gold versus FTR and the Young Bucks. Did you watch this or did you skip the finish?
I skipped this too.
Really? Okay.
Really?
Okay. No, you didn't miss
tell
much.
Me about it. I love all these guys. I was just like, look.
Dude,
there's
yeah.
like really, is there really any crazy storyline implications? I knew who was going to win. And I knew why they were going to win. Oh, the guys who fought last week weren't going to be able to get along, so the other team was going to win. And are they going to get anything out of it, really? No, because CM Punk's gone? Oh, wow, that's crazy. Is anybody really going to cash in on this? Probably not. So, but please tell me about it.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly how the match went down. No, it was a crazy spot fest. It's, you know, you always get this kind of treat when Rick Knox is fucking reffing a Young Bucks match, you know? That it's going to
so
be
true.
Complete
Rick Knox
chaos.
And the Young Bucks, match made in heaven, truly.
There's so much shit that was just going on. It was just a crazy spot fest. The biggest takeaway is buy your Bullet Club Gold stock yesterday, man.
I did. I'm fucking in on them, dude. I bought stock before the Gun Club even joined them. I was like, they better join because I'm investing like they're in there right now.
That's true. And that's all I can really – the biggest takeaway is that Jay White now seemingly has a free, you know, open path to the main event on Collision, you know? And it just seems like with Bullet Club Gold, they're just so entertaining. They're so good in the ring, and it's fun to see the guns work. It's fun to see Jay White kind of just find out what he can do in America. You know, for some reason, it's like he's got to elevate his game from Japan. And I feel like this is it's great stuff. And it furthers Young Bucks and FTR because it's maybe they're not done yet, you know?
So let me ask you, what is the main event on Collision look like? Because I'm pretty sure their world title is in somebody's fridge somewhere in Chicago.
Oh, yo, dude, do you think when CM Punk shows up at Survivor Series, he's going to put the real world's champion in the trash can?
See, that's the reason why WWE needs to hire CM Punk, is because he has a real AEW world title with a fucking X on it.
That's
he could
true.
Go on stage, throw that shit in a goddamn garbage can and light it on fire. And fucking jerk off on the screen and be like, fuck you guys. And he will.
Dude, I can't wait. I hope that happens.
In front of a billion screaming Indian fans at their live PLE who will be like, yeah, go back to WWE.
In India?
Fuck AEW. They don't treat you right. The valet was reading me comments from Indian fans who were like, go back to WWE. AEW no treat you right. And I was like, so true, King. I love this.
Dude, the pop for Cult of Personality in India to come out to face to face with John Cena, that roof would explode.
By the way, when we started watching Payback last night, like we were just talking about CM Punk getting fired. Valet is a big CM Punk fan because he just keeps it real. And I was like, fine, you know what? I paused Payback. Like we have to go watch the Pipe Bomb. And dude, Pipe Bomb fucking rules. Pipe Bomb is so good.
It is. It's timeless. I remember where I was when that happened. I remember I was in Steph's house, my sister's in Virginia, watching on a fucking laptop plugged to the screen. And I was like, are you seeing this? You seeing this right now, Chris? This is crazy. This is history. I feel like I verbatim said, this is history right here. When I saw that shit for the first time.
You see this? This is history right here. It's so funny. Fucking hilarious.
But
dude, it's so good. It's such a like great promo. Especially because John Cena was on stage. I was like, these two had like the best fucking feud ever. Like, it was so good.
Wait till the valet sees Money in the Bank 2011.
That's what I was saying. I was like, we got to watch Money in the Bank 2011.
Well, just take her to SummerSlam right after when Kevin Nash fucking powerbombs him and he loses the fucking title.
And then I was bringing up fucking Kevin Nash. I was like, this fucking jabroni. He's like, oh, CM Punk probably just had... Fuck you, dude. Fuck this guy. This guy going around in the 90s. Yeah, if there was fucking Twitter and social media back then, you wouldn't have a fucking acting job, my guy. What a fucking asshole. Throwing rocks in a glass house like he's got a fucking contract to do it.
Kevin Nash.
Fucking
what's it called?
90s wrestlers or something else, dude.
My favorite thing was him, CM Punk roasting him, being like the OMG LOL thought he was dead. It was a great time back then when fucking Kevin Nash had to dye his hair jet black and his beard jet black because he was old and gray to face CM Punk.
God, every fucking Reddit mark sucks his nuts because he has, what, like, slightly liberal opinions? Get a grip, guys. Come on.
Well, speaking about getting
grips, this guy thinks abortions are okay. We should all fucking jerk them off at the same time. Get a grip, people.
Transitioning away to the main event.
Transitioning, go buy CM Punk trans right shirts on awshop.com.
Facts. Shout out to CM Punk. But, speaking of, we have, again, for seemingly then, now, forever, John Moxley, in case of emergency, break glass. Anytime CM Punk gets fucking thrown out or, you know, suspended, it's always Moxley picking up the pieces. And now
it's
you
always
have
Mox in a main event spot.
Always. For the last, like, 3 years or so, or 2 years it's been. So Orange Cassidy gets his biggest main event match to date. International Championship.
Match,
dude, this match
for me,
it was bananas, dude. I mean,
it was so good.
We love
told
Orange
a fucking
Cassidy
story
matches
here, dude.
Exactly. You know, we get Orange Cassidy matches every fucking week, and we love them. But now, every time it's on a pay per view, it's more elevated. It means more. It holds more weight to us marks on the mic. And now, anytime you see Orange Cassidy after that promo, it just feels like he's got another level to him. You know, that we're just breaking the surface, because like there's only so long he's already done it for, what, 300 plus days, where you can just not say anything and do the thumbs up, like not cutting promos basically for a year and just wrestling amazing matches. Now let's get to the nitty gritty of Orange Cassidy. Let's squeeze this orange.
It was perfect, dude. Yes. You know, blood Orange Cassidy. He built himself up doing this by being like the star of the show every week. They were putting him on fucking Rampage at the beginning, and he's like, no, I'm too, like, they would announce it. I remember going to see it live, and they'd be like, oh, don't worry, stay for Rampage because you're gonna have your Orange Cassidy match. But then he became too fucking undeniable. It was like, I don't care that I don't talk, you gotta put me on fucking Dynamite because everybody wants to see my fucking title defense. And that's what happened. And then they want to see him in bigger matches with his fucking crew against somebody else's fucking crew. And now it's just like, okay, it's time for a real storyline. Have this man. He doesn't need a fucking year-long title reign. He doesn't need a 1,000-day-long title reign. He needs to lose the title to big, bad John Moxley, who pushes him to his limit, who gives Orange Cassidy a reason to grow, to evolve, to get that title back, to fucking climb the goddamn mountain, make him grow to the next level of Orange Cassidy so that we can get World Championship Orange Cassidy next year. That's what's happening.
That's facts.
That's where we're going.
That's facts.
That fucking promo, dude, that crowd was filled with Orange Cassidy signs because he says, I'm Orange Cassidy and I don't have a catchphrase. That shit fucking hit. He resonates with people now that he's talking, and it's fucking awesome. And he looked so cool covered in blood. Hell yeah, man. I love that at the end of the match, none of his friends came out. You know, just let him have this moment of loss. You know, don't crowd him with friends. Don't just let him eat it, you know? This is fucking Luffy at the end.
Facts,
alone.
Dude. My
beaten.
God.
You know, covered in blood. Like, what do I do? What do I have left? He's like, I got my best friends, you know?
Oh, that hit. Yeah, you're right. You're right, dude.
Let's fucking go. Blood Orange Cassidy. Let's fucking see it. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, dude. There's no more beautiful manga panel, I feel like, then that overhead shot of him bloodied and just on a fucking, you know, his body's all mangled. And it's like, That would be sick if somebody drew that out. You know what I mean? That would be awesome.
Yeah, dude. It's just, the fucking,
you know, slash end next week, you know? We see what happens, you know? Break next week, you know? Right after that image. Break next week, like...
and it's fucking... It's just Orange Cassidy. Make that. Yeah, it's just like, it's just like Danhausen and like Trent and Chucky, and I don't know, you can't put Wheeler in there anymore. I don't know what his crew looks like anymore. Is Bandito in it? Is Bandito adjacent for some reason?
We should, Eva, write that down. We'll get to work on that meme for sure. But you know, AEW All Out. Let's just run down and jump to some WWE stuff. We had Payback this weekend. You know, we talked about the LA Knight stuff. It opened up with Becky and Trish, and this is, you know, the Hell in the Cell blow off match that we've all been waiting for. Did it deliver for you?
I liked it, actually. I liked that it was a cage match. They told the story of running away, and really what hit for me was the Trish Zoe Stark moment at the end. One of the cleanest finishers of the fucking weekend. I don't know what Zoe Stark's finisher is called, but when she hit it on Trish, I was like, ooh, CM Punk wishes he could hit a fucking GTS like that.
Dude, yeah.
He only does it when he's doing it to Darby.
She's insane. She's a beast. But yeah, dude, I really love this match. Her and Becky had a banger match last week. I don't even know if we talked about that, but that match that Becky and Zoe had on Raw was a fucking barn burner, dude. And this match versus Trish also was the same. It was really awesome to see Trish. You know, this was a success. You know, people were worried that this feud was going nowhere, but look, you got Becky primed for a main event, right, like doing really good out on top on this feud. Onto the next one, you elevate Zoe Stark's already with that moment at the end. So I think Trish's return has done pretty great job, you know?
I know. She has been getting so much hate for her, like, promos and stuff. Like, relentless, terrible hate. It's like, goddamn, dude. Nobody would have given a fuck about Zoe Stark without Trish, you know? So I'm totally okay with this. I don't think that Becky should be feuding with... I mean, we'll get to it, but I don't think Becky should be feuding with this NXT champion. I have some gripes about what's happening next. I think I have some solutions. I think Io Sky and Rhea should switch places, like, basically completely.
Okay, because you think that the man would do better against Io than it's too early for Rhea Ripley or something like that?
Really,
or?
I think Rhea Ripley needs to be beating the man and Charlotte and Bianca and Asuka, because her fighting people like Raquel Rodriguez, yeah, I know she's going to fucking win. And Io, she might fucking lose to Raquel. She like feels like she could be a transitional champion. She won in a non-dominant way by way of help with a Money in the Bank. Like, she is not a strong, solidified champion. She could get herself and other people over by fighting weaker people, but Rhea needs to fight other beasts.
I'm just picturing this, you know, One Piece edit, just like Rhea taking down the Yonkos, freaking Asuka, and, you know, Charlotte and Bianca and Becky.
Yeah, it's like, that's, literally, no,
that's a
great it's story. Like,
that's a cool one,
dude.
Yeah.
It's like Mihawk when he takes down fucking Don Krieg. That's Rhea beating up Raquel Rodriguez. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm so surprised that, you know, this 3 billion berry bounty man beat up a 20 million person in the fucking
for
East
sure
Blue.
But hey, if it's any consolation, you know, I think that Raquel is in a better spot out of that match. That match was really good. I mean, I really loved that they gave it time. Like, the biggest thing is, like, Rhea, we don't want to see her squash a jabroni again. It only can work so many times, you know, Natty, Liv, whatever you want to say. But this, you know, was really cool. And I know that they're really close and they're really good friends. So it's like, oh, they put each other over. And like, so I agree, though, that yes, Rhea needs to be fucking conquering some bigger fish. So hopefully after this, maybe that's what's happening. Because, you know, this NXT chick that you're talking about, Tiffany Stratton, fucking Rhea Ripley's there every other week. So maybe that's what happens when Rhea might kind of finagle her way in the and Tiffany Stratton might get the rub that way, you know? So it's like, I think that, you know, the booker here, you know, Triple H, I trust his gut, you know, for the most part here. especially with the women's division,
think,
you know?
I just think this is one thing that if they just flipped roles, it would make so much more sense. It's going to suffer like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, but
Rousey.
Then you wouldn't get my thing that I said, you know, with the NXT thing. But anyway, moving on. We already talked about LA Knight and The Miz. The Cinnamon Toast Crush match, I did not watch that. Austin Theory versus Rey Mysterio. I love Rey Mysterio to death, but I was like, I'm good, you know, and Rey run with a roll up, so I have no thoughts on it. And, you know, no Santos turn, blah, blah, blah. If it wasn't
for
fucking...
stop that guy from wearing a hat, the mariachi hat, to the ring in Legado.
Who? Oh, Santos?
No, Santos' friend in Legado.
We don't even know.
He wears a mariachi hat every time.
Every time
he comes out.
I feel like I'm missing this.
Are you
every
kidding
time?
Me?
Is
every
it on his
time?
Head or
He's
is it on his back?
LWO.
On his back or on his in his
on his
mariachi
head.
Hat. Okay. Interesting.
It's
well,
crazy.
While you look that up, the next match was probably, if not for, you know, Will Hobbs and Miro, this would be my match of the weekend, which was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Judgment Day for the tag team titles, dude. We got new fucking tag team champs. This match was bananas. It was amazing. It was awesome. Fucking, it had Dominic. It had JD McDonagh. Hockey fights.
Possibly
the
match
Swanton.
Of the night with this one.
Yeah,
truly.
Man. The Swanton off the rafters. Dude, Kevin Owens punched me so hard with that. That was fucking crazy, man. The thud.
I thought he was done. He hit his ass on the floor, dude. I was like, this man's tailbone is going to be hurting tomorrow.
Yeah,
fucking,
it probably is.
I was like, thank God his head and his neck is okay. But his tailbone? This man is not sitting right. Every time he shits for the next 2 weeks is going to be torture. Torture. I feel for this man.
Well, I'm poor so Kevin. Glad that they dropped the tag team titles after that. But, dude, I can't believe KO even got up after that. Dominic Mysterio, the MVP of the night, you know, the MVP.
Securing
of the
victory for the fucking Judgment Day, dude. Crazy.
Loved it, man. And it's like everybody was, you know, boo-hooing Finn winning the world title. That's me, by the way. I'm talking about myself. And now this is great. I'm fucking on cloud nine. You know, Judgment Day is all fucking... strapped up with all these straps, all this gold, man, dripping in gold. It's beautiful.
And it really worked storyline wise because it's what Rhea and Dom have been saying, that when they all work together, Judgment Day fucking conquers. And Rhea with that spear on Kevin just KOing his shit through the wall, and then Dominic coming in with the Money in the Bank briefcase and knocking out Sammy. Beautiful. 3-2-1, 1-2-3, whatever you say. And then yeah, JD McDonagh was there.
Dude, the bump he took was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
With a pop-up powerbomb on the thing. I love it, man. I was just literally thinking to myself, like, the fucking Judgment Day is getting a little weak, little fucking ass recently. But now, we're back, baby. You know, stocks go up, stocks go down, you know, but then they
mm-hmm.
go back up again.
And this is why, and this is good, dude. This is going to help Sammy and Kevin's storyline. Now, there's going to be some turmoil between them. We got... fucking Jey Uso coming to Raw. There's gonna be some lovers quarrels between him and Sammy. You know, it's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get brazy.
It's
Kevin's
true.
Gonna be like, you're distracted, Sammy, because you're always banging Jey backstage. You don't know how to get our tag titles back. You know, it's gonna cause them. It's gonna be great. That's how it's all gonna go down.
Yeah, man, I can't wait for some fucking Sami Zayn and Jey Uso reunion. It is going to be
some
good
shit.
Dude,
backstage by the trucks, just talking to each other, being like, you did the right thing, Jey. So proud of you. You really stayed true to your convictions.
And then, you know, it's KO in the background, and that's what
seething.
Gets a pop-up powerbomb.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. He's like, why are you always talking to Jey, man? So weird. Gotta stay focused.
I can't wait for that fucking turn. But, you know, we got the main event here. Seth freaking Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, Muda's here. The last man to kiss him on the mouth, Shinsuke Nakamura, with a great video package. I love that, dude. I love his Japanese promos that he keeps cutting every single week.
the anime manga panels that started the match were so cool. I was like, dude, is Shinsuke gonna win? They're like doing this whole thing. It got me to believe. I finally believed that Shinsuke was gonna win because of those like manga panels before the match started. I was like, dude, this is crazy. The whole little storyline they told, I was like, this is fucking crazy. It's part of his entrance. Then he comes out in like the coolest samurai garb ever. He looked like a dark Sith.
But, you know, on a scale of NXT TakeOver versus Sami Zayn, from one to that, where did this rank? Did this match do that kind of story for you, or is that still his best match here in WWE?
I mean, that was his best match, like, in ring-wise, certainly, but this was super fun. This was a great match. This is, like, his best match in a really long time, especially for a title. You know, this is better than any of his AJ matches, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love that. It's like, you know, again, like, they kept hammering it on commentary that, you know, this is the Japanese strong style. Like, he's back. Like, they kept saying, like, this guy's different. He's built different. And I love that he healed it up, dude. But the match finish felt flat to me, I felt like. Like, one stomped, I was like, oh, it's super Seth Rollins. But then, again, that just might be my Mark brain at work, because I'm like, oh, this finish fucking sucked. But then you have there's a clip after the show, Shinsuke beats him down and throws him up the ramp and like throws his back into a bunch of shit. So it's like, maybe this feud isn't over yet, you know?
Yeah, also not really super Seth Rollins. Like, he's defended this title like 3 times, and he was eating hella losses, Seth Rollins. I feel like losing the title could help Seth Rollins, though.
But this like, I just want to, like, this caveat is me making this, you know, 4.5 star match, you know, instead of to be a 5 would be to go an extra 10 minutes. So I understand, oh, this is just my Mark brain, you know.
Jesus.
That's what it boils down to. That's all I want.
Come on.
I wanted a false finish Seth Rollins stomp. Is that too much for a Mark to ask for?
No, but I think 2 stomps would have been nice. Really been put nice. Him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love when they do that, you know. I don't need like a false finish, because there were so many false finishes this weekend. You know, so many 2.99s that people were kicking out of 3.01s, all right? You know, it's okay to kick out at 2.5.
But that's,
if you can't get the 2.99, it's okay to go with 2.7, guys.
But again, this is, again, Triple H knows more than I do, because then it's like, kayfabe-wise, if you put him down twice to 2 finishers, brother, you know, he wouldn't be looming around in the back as the show goes over, you know, show goes off the air and then attacks him to post on social media later. So
that's true. Again,
they know what they're doing over there in WWE.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that this feud's going to keep going, see what Shinsuke can do. I wonder, who do you think Seth Rollins' next feud is going to be? Because he's probably going to beat Shinsuke.
I mean, I hope they run it back. I hope they run it back to at Fastlane or the indie show, whichever.
They are going to run it back. I'm talking about after that.
Oh, because Shinsuke's not going to win the next time, you're saying? It's going to be like Finn, where he loses 3 times in a row over the course of like 4 months? Okay.
Yes.
sorry, the realization and the reality setting in with me.
Yeah, Shinsuke's not going over. Who do you think his next valid contender is going to be?
I mean, I think you could definitely toss Cody in there so he can get – Seth can get his lick back from, you know, taking 3 L's in a row, so that Cody can kind of be a little taken down a notch before he faces Roman at Mania. That's my guess. My Triple H hat is on.
Interesting. I have no idea. I don't even know who's on Raw. Jay? Is Jay going to go for it?
He could. He could.
And then he's going to get caught by, like, Jimmy. Jimmy's going to come and ruin it for him. Just be like, fuck you.
That would be
like, I'm saving you. He's gonna be like, "What? I'm not even. Roman's not even here."
That's honestly, it's got to be Jey Uso, because why would you poach main event Jey Uso in his name and put him on Raw, and you get the stroke of Cody Rhodes,
stroke put daddy him over. Cody Rhodes.
You put him in the main event. You take main event Jey Uso from SmackDown and put him in the main event of Raw. So, I mean, literally, Raw's going on right now. He could be in the main event with Seth Rollins right now as we speak. So,
oh my God, Labor Day Raw. Yeah, could be.
Well, speaking of Labor Day, we've been working all night. So, is there anything else in this week of pro wrestling that you want to talk about or cover before we get out of here?
Yeah, I want to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
Who is a pushier ref? John Cena or Bryce Remsburg?
That's really tough because I hate Bryce Remsburg to my
but
core.
But who's pushier, just objectively? Who is grabbing people more and throwing them off and then going in their face and being like, you got to stop that right now?
Dude, all
it's
tough. Say,
it's not about who do you hate or love more. It's who
I
is physically grabbing people and pushing them off and then yelling in their face.
Here's what I'll say. John Cena, the worst ref I've ever seen of all time. He was so bad at being a ref. It was so hard to watch sometimes, you know? The way that he would just tap on the mat, I was like, you're doing it wrong. Like, that's just, I don't know why. I'm
he's
just like,
just
this doesn't
big.
He's taking
buff
me out of
and
it.
Clunky.
Yeah.
You know, he was getting in the way of the shots, and it's not because he was like stealing the limelight. It's just because he has a huge
he's
body,
like 6'5", and just like, you know,
and
300
so wide.
Pounds. Yeah. Shout out to John Cena. But
shout out to John Cena, the best to ever.
He's
do
back,
it.
Dude. So you want to get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome.
You got any
man.
Plugs, buddy?
Let's get out of here. What do I do again? Oh yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Fiber of Foodie. Yeah, it's mid. We'll see. Number 5. plugs for you, sir?
I got no personal plugs, but you can follow the both of us at Illegal Tactics Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. If you're following us here from there, really appreciate it. We'd love to see it. And yeah, we're making some good content, man. Some edits, some memes, some bullshit. If you saw the most recent one, went viral on Instagram with 1 million views, fucking Moxley looking like a rooster with some fucking spaghetti sticking out of his head. So, yeah, we appreciate it. Some goofy stuff on there. Check us out.
Yes. And, you know, as always, thanks for tuning in, listening. We love you all. Go watch some wrestling this week. And go watch some One Piece.
Watch One Piece, people. And also wrestling. But watch One Piece. Peace out.